Welcome home. We are WNST AM 1570. It's House in Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive and celebrating a Festivus for the rest of us in a week down here. We're watching plenty of football around. We are planning the biggest radio row week. That is Super Bowl week. And we're going to call it Super Bowl week. I promise you that. Beginning on February 5th, I'll be teasing that all month long. Once I get it all organized, I'll let Luke know what we're doing, because he doesn't even really know what we're doing, but he will be in Las Vegas for all things Ravens festivities if they can make it through the next 2 hours of football. And we're here to talk about how treacherous this little tournament's going to be on both sides, AFC and NFC side. Luke, the schedule comes out. I don't really care whether you play early Saturday, late Sunday, Monday night, whatever it is. Monday might be an issue. I would think the Monday game will be the Sunday game the following week. At some point, we'll find out whether we're playing early or late on Saturday and Sunday next weekend. But this is a fascinating week. I think this might be the best week. It would say March Madness, or you'd say the day of the baseball playoffs for a baseball nerd like you. This is one of the great weekends to sit on the couch and watch football. And I know traditionally the division round games have been the better games when there's four games over the course of the body of the lifetime of all of this. But six games this weekend, they've willed it into this position where only one team has a bye. We win that prize this year. We'll see whether that's a booby prize or not 2 weeks from now if we're still in the tournament or not. But three games this weekend, beginning on Saturday. Good matchups. These are good football teams. I don't know when we start getting these 8-9s and 9-8s in, and when we have these lousy division winners like we've had in the South on both sides in the NFL this year. Somebody's got to make the playoffs. You know, at some point they got to let Tampa Bay or one of those teams in. Houston gets in against all odds against the Colts and Jacksonville as the weekend began. But good games and a real chance here for underdogs. I mean, these are not chalk games usually.
Yeah, I mean, in all truth, since they've gone to this format with the seventh team an extra wild card in each conference, I mean, some of these wild card weekend games have actually not been great. But I think when you look at these matchups, they're certainly intriguing. I mean, I love that we're not going to waste any time seeing Houston versus Cleveland right off the bat. I mean, I think that has the potential to be maybe the game of the weekend. I think you look, you know, Joe Flacco, that story has been talked about at length now for a month. But I also think Houston, and I agree with you as far as the overall sentiment of the AFC South. I mean, Jacksonville, what a collapse over from Thanksgiving on. They were a team we were talking about being the number one seed, or at least in that conversation, certainly before they lose five of their last six. Indianapolis, you know, Gardner Minshew, nice story this year, but I don't think anyone really thought they posed a threat. But I do think the Texans, especially considering C.J. Stroud missed some time late in the year, they're a team to be, you know, to be mindful of. I'm not saying that I would be overly worried about them coming into Baltimore, but when you have a young quarterback and a team that has some of the talent that they have, you know, that's a team that you need to be ready to play.
I'm a lot more worried about playing the Browns than I am them. You know, if you get Houston, I think you feel better about that than drawing the Browns defense for me.
Yeah, fair enough. I would just say of those lesser teams, for lack of a better description, I think Houston's a team you got to watch out for, because I do think CJ Stroud can play. I mean, I really do. And I think even going back to week one when the Ravens played the Texans, understanding that was his first start in the NFL, understanding this defense ended up being what it was this year. You know, I think you look at that a little bit differently and say he competed in that game. I mean, they didn't, you know, they lost by two scores. I get it. But, you know, that's a team that I think when he's been right, they've looked much more formidable. Now, he missed a couple games, had the concussion. You saw they weren't very good then. So I think the record's a little deceiving in that way. But, I mean, it's a Browns team with their defense, you know, with Joe Flacco throwing to Amari Cooper and David Njoku. Certainly very, very interesting. You know, I think you look at the other two games. Miami hasn't beaten anyone all year. You know, they've beaten the Cowboys, and the Cowboys have been very mediocre on the road. They beat the Cowboys in Miami a couple weeks back, but look at their strength of victory. This is who they are. They're talented. They have elements of their team that are good, but now at this point, their defense is banged up to all heck. And I think Tua Tagovailoa, who is talented, I think he can take you so far, but I'm really having questions about how far he can take you at this point in time, because they haven't beaten anyone of note, and they squandered a golden opportunity on Sunday night. So, Kansas City playing at home, the early indications on the forecast there, it sounds like it's going to be bitterly cold in Kansas City. The Chiefs, look, their offense, who the heck knows at this point, but it's still Patrick Mahomes, still Andy Reid calling plays. But I think their defense, is really where I'm looking for them to have the edge in that one. And Buffalo over against the Steelers, likely no TJ Watt. I get it. I mean, I don't think Pittsburgh's very good, but they've won their last three. They did enough, albeit against the Ravens JV, to give themselves a chance to qualify. And the Bills, look, I'm the guy that's been talking, even when the Bills were at 500, I was saying don't throw dirt on them yet. But you still saw on Sunday night, within a 60-minute game, the things that they do that frustrate you to all heck. I mean, Josh Allen, as talented as he is, he turns the ball over. And that's something that in the playoffs, it's going to burn you. So it's an interesting field. There's no doubt about it. The Ravens are by far the best team on paper and have earned that right as the number one seed and will be favored against any of these teams coming into Baltimore. But it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And knowing that they won't get Kansas City or Buffalo in the next round, will it be one of them coming to Baltimore in a few weeks? We'll see. But certainly, you look at this thing, if you're the Ravens, I'm not going to sit here and say that any of those six teams pose a threat to them because I just don't believe that. But there are a few. And certainly, talking about Buffalo, talking about Kansas City's pedigree, we've talked about the Browns. And of those three other teams, talking Houston, Miami, Pittsburgh, I think Houston's interesting at the very least if you're looking for a Cinderella. Not that I would say they'd upset the Ravens, but they're the kind of team that if you start slow with Stroud throwing the ball to Nico Collins, as we saw in that Saturday night game, they can make some big plays, offensively. So, it'll be interesting to see how these teams respond. And, you've kind of, I don't want to call them the old guard because Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen aren't old. And, Josh Allen and the Bills aren't that accomplished in the way that you would think in those terms. But, it is interesting, going to be interesting to see how these other teams, kind of respond, either a younger team or in the case of Joe Flacco, completely unexpected at this point in his career. So certainly going to be interesting to see how it plays out here on the wild card weekend.
Well, and year after year, when these teams spend $250 million on quarterbacks, and all of them have, I'm wondering whether Trevor Lawrence will rise again. You know what I mean? And I think about the pedigree of what he had. And I said to my wife, I was watching the game, I'm like, he looks like a shell of what he looked like at Clemson, right? So I look at that. And then I say Joe Burrow's out of the tournament. Probably a lot of the way people felt last year when Lamar got hurt. It's like, all right, they can't win. Let's get rid of that. How many teams can win? And I think a healthy Josh Allen, a healthy Patrick Mahomes, despite the cast around them maybe not being as good, I guess I'm more impressed with Buffalo the last 5 or 6 weeks that I'd rather see Kansas City than Buffalo here in the championship game, if that matters. And they're going to play each other, and they're going to play each other in Buffalo, I guess, right? If Buffalo wins now, because of what happened on Sunday. You talk about Miami squandering an opportunity. Dude, they lost home field advantage at home. And now they have to go. Like, just everything about the Dolphins feels like they're the weakest team in the tournament to me.
Pittsburgh's, especially if they don't have TJ Watt, I'm not a big believer in Pittsburgh going on the road, but we'll see. I mean, hey, they've won the last three. They beat the Ravens.
The TJ Watt thing's brutal, though. You're right. You're
That's
gonna
what
go
I'm
play
saying.
Patrick Mahomes without TJ Watt.
I mean, look, has Mason Rudolph given them a little bit of a lift compared to what they were getting, which was such a low bar? Sure. Do I think that they're do I would I bet on them being able to go into Buffalo unless Josh Allen kicks the ball around, which he kicked the ball around early in the game against Miami, and that's why the Dolphins had a lead in that game. I mean, look how many times they went into the red zone and came away with nothing. So, all these teams we're talking about, including, yes, Kansas City, they have warts. Whereas you look at the Ravens don't have any warts. The Ravens have a couple relative elements that you could talk about, like the run defense. But, it's not like the run defense is like worst in the league or anything like that. So yeah, you're looking at these teams. I mean, Pittsburgh, they got in, they're as the number seven seed. Miami, I think the big thing for Miami, as much as the focus will be on, Tua and their offense kind of fizzling in the second half of that game and the turnover late. Their defense is just decimated at this point. They lost a couple more edge rushers on Sunday night, you know, in addition to having lost Chubb against the Ravens and, you know, some other guys.
Well, and Mostert and Waddle, they're a different offense without them. I mean, that's a different football game on Sunday if they're healthy. And we could say that about every team.
Sure.
But Miami, I like Miami a whole lot more 6 weeks ago when they were healthy, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I like Pittsburgh again, a lot less with Kenny Pickett.
I look at Miami. Yeah, well, I don't – right. I mean, Pittsburgh, whoever's at quarterback, you're just not a big believer in. But, yeah, with Miami, I just – and we saw it against the Ravens, right? The first 20 minutes of that game or so, they competed. I mean, it was a close game early on, and they just can't play 60 minutes. I mean, they're just not – whether it's in their DNA, whether it's the injuries on defense now, you know, whatever it is, I'm not buying them going into Kansas City, even against the Chiefs team that is a lesser Chiefs team than we've seen in recent years. I think that's obvious. Whether they end up making a run or not, I just don't see them going in there and playing 60 minutes to the degree that you need to play to win on the road in the playoffs. I mean, they just haven't done it all year. Look at their strength of victory. As I said, they've beaten one team with a winning record all year. It's the Cowboys, and the Cowboys have not been very good on the road, as has been chronicled. So, you know, I mean, Buffalo and Kansas City should, and I emphasize should, get through to the divisional round, and they'll be facing off against each other if that happens. So that's where I think if you're the Ravens, yeah, you got to prepare for Miami. You still have to prepare for Pittsburgh because you never know what's going to happen. You play the games and the weather's weird, as it was Saturday in Baltimore. Another reminder there that if you get bad weather, that can neutralize some things. But I think most fans are probably going to be most heavily focused on Cleveland versus Houston. Yes, because of the Joe Flacco element, but because I think that has the potential to be the game of the weekend in the AFC anyway. So,
and we're going to take the winner on. I mean, I'm watching that game at 4:30
most likely,
Saturday.
Most likely, right.
Saying, like, without a miracle, I mean, my God, if Pittsburgh or Miami roll in here next weekend with Mason Rudolph or Tua Tagovailoa without all of these players, that would be dreamier than having to see Joe Flacco or CJ Stroud, for sure.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be too disparaging to Miami because they did do some good things this year and they do have talent. I mean, you see, to your point, you know, if Jalen Waddle and Raheem Mostert are both back, then they are a different offense. But boy, if Miami goes into Kansas City, then the Chiefs are worse than I even think they are, which, you know, I don't think they're bad. Let's be clear, but it's clearly not the same Chiefs team of last year, 2, 3, 4 years ago. You know, I think you've seen that with them offensively. Now, defensively, they've been much more formidable, but yeah, it's, I guess if Miami goes in there and they beat the Chiefs, then hey, the Dolphins have done something then, and then you do take a little more notice of them.
It's supposed to be 4 degrees in Kansas City on Sunday.
It's going to be crazy.
Four.
Absolutely
that's the
crazy.
High. -8. So that's what you're drawing when you go to Kansas City on Sunday.
Yeah. So, I mean, and again, that Dolphins defense, you know, with the edge guys decimated. I mean, the Chiefs, when Pacheco's been healthy, they can run the ball. So, you know, it'll be interesting. Miami can run the ball, especially if they have Mostert. If you have Mostert and A-Chain as a 1-2 punch, I mean, they can run the rock. But, yeah, I mean, you look at those two games, talking Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City.
That's going to be a night game, and it's going to be below zero.
Yes, brutal.
It's going to be sub-zero in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean,
and barbecue's not that good, Luke. I ain't going out there. Forget it. I mean, maybe to Miami. Let's do that.
Maybe the forecast will change a little bit between now and then, as you and I are talking.
And maybe
about
it'll get up to single digits.
Yeah. So I mean, that's going to be it's going to be bitter. There's no doubt about it.
Glad you told me about that. I didn't even look at the weather forecast. What's the weather forecast in Buffalo on Sunday? It can't be nice.
Not. I didn't see the specifics, but not as bad as Kansas City, which is surprising, right? Because it's Buffalo in January. I mean, look.
Nestor's going to be on his couch with you or, you know, hanging out over Costas or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but look, I mean, it's the playoffs, right? It's a single elimination tournament.
Oh, it's going to be in the 20s and windy in Buffalo. It'd be perfect.
Oh, no problem, right? So
yeah, 20s and windy.
You know,
yeah.
Pittsburgh trying to slow down Buffalo without TJ Watt. I mean, it's, you know, sounds like, you know, they say what, a grade 2, they were saying a grade 3 MCL sprain. I think a grade 2, you know, that's at least a 3 or 4 week injury. I mean, maybe he'll, Maybe he'll take an injection and try to play, but I can't see it.
I love when Dr. Jones shows up and you know how many weeks injuries. You've been doing this too long.
I mean, let's be clear. I'm not diagnosing. I'm not like Dr. David Chow or anything like that. But you know, when you hear like a grade two MCL, that's, you know, that's usually on the best case scenario, that's 3 or 4 weeks, if not a little longer. So, but you know, we'll see how this plays out again. All of these teams have warts. I mean, they do. I mean, the Ravens are the team in the AFC that doesn't really have any warts per se. They have relative weaknesses, if you want to use that term, but there's nothing that I point to with the Ravens that is a fatal flaw that I'm overly concerned about, other than just, hey, you got to go out and start fast and be sharp and can't get any key players hurt. I mean, the things that can happen to any team. So all these other teams, I mean, like I said, with Buffalo, Josh Allen has turned the ball over. I think Josh Allen's a terrific football player and, you know, does some incredible things, as we saw even as the game went on Sunday night, but he's turned the ball over a lot this year. And you do that, I don't care who you're playing in the playoffs, even if it's a 7 seed like Pittsburgh, you do that, you give yourself a chance to lose. I mean, that's how Buffalo got themselves in the position they were, where they were, what, 6-6, and looking like they weren't even going to make the playoffs, you know, back around Thanksgiving. So Kansas City, we've talked about them. You know, I mean, is that Chiefs offense going to find some, you know, a pulse? I mean, it's been pretty bad at times. So I get it. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Andy Reid. They have more pedigree than anyone, including the Ravens. But at some point in time, that's got to show up. Is it going to show up against Miami? Is it going to travel the following week if they're going to Buffalo in the divisional round? I mean, who knows? We've kind of been waiting for that all year, you know, just talking as football fans, kind of waiting for Kansas City to figure it out. And well, it's now or never for them. So yeah, while those are kind of those are the long-term, you know, looking at ahead to the AFC championship. In the meantime, this Browns Texans game, I think is going to be really interesting. I think it's got a chance to be an outstanding football game. So, you know, the Browns rested their starters, you know, including Joe Flacco, which is kind of wild. Who would have thought 6 weeks ago we'd be talking about Joe Flacco being rested in week 18?
I'm just saying, wild. Man, the minute the Flacco thing happened, I can, this is like that TV commercial where I could kid and play, drop the red flag on you and go back and rewind it. You said something like, look, if it works out, he's not going to play at all. They didn't sign him to have him play. They signed him to have a body,
yeah,
you know, to have somebody stand there and look good, look like he used to be a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah. Hey, but even you didn't see this happening for them. I mean, no one saw this.
I saw him. You know what? I love Joe so much, right? And if you don't love Joe, shame on you. That's all. If you're a Raven fan, you don't love Joe.
Oh, I thought you were saying me personally.
Ice cream. I'm like, you know what I mean? If you don't love Joe. So when Joe played on that day, I put it on and I watched him roll out and his legs move faster. Like, it took me 5 minutes to look at him and say,
yeah,
this isn't the same guy that was in the Jets uniform, you know, a year and 3 months ago. That he has gotten, I mean, listen, at some point I'm going to go share an iced tea with him up in Audubon. Maybe we'll go to a Flyers game or something together. I don't know. A Phillies game or something. But I really, the story to me that I haven't learned, and they've had fun with him in Cleveland. Radio stations are singing songs about him. And like all of that wacky stuff that he can probably handle pretty well is probably very, very bemused by, if not amused by. But I don't know that anybody's really – if I had him on the show for 15 minutes, I'd say, dude, what were you doing this summer to get ready to play? When you called me in August and we talked, like, you said you wanted to play, you didn't let me know that, like, you were training differently. Because it's very, very clear he's trained differently. And I thought, mm-hmm. You know, Dennis came on with the same flippancy last week that other people – well, Mike Preston, you didn't care this much when you were here. We didn't see this fire out of you. Well, A, you didn't take the game away from him. You know, he went home and sat around. And I think if you take my radio show away from me and bring me back on the air, I might be better. I may think about it differently the second time. I did. I lost the radio station one time many, many years ago. And I thought about it differently when I got it back. You see, I haven't given it up the second time. We're 25, 26 years into that now. But when something's taken away from you, but I think also Joe with all the kids and stuff, like I talked to him in August and he was giving me the names and the ages of all of his kids. And I'm like trying to keep score. And I'm like, how, you know, and because he doesn't seem like a guy that even with $1 billion would hire a baby. He's not that way. He's like, mm-hmm. He raises his kids. Right. And I thought to myself, where are you finding the time to do this? And I'm thinking to myself, he must have every morning got up and just pretended he was still playing. I mean, he's got $200 million in the bank. He can say to his wife, "Hey, I'm going to the gym and I'm going to try to be a football player again. We're going to give this one last go." I really want to see, because this is a fascinating comeback if he wins a playoff game. If he wins just one playoff game and he makes it back to Baltimore next week, it's one of the great Baltimore sports stories if he comes back here and plays after not playing, after being given up for dead for years, for years. It's been 5 years since Harbaugh said, "You're not even good enough to go in there when this kid can't even do it. We know he can't win, but we're going to let him run around instead of having you come into a playoff game for what was your team," and he gets thrown out. That next week sets up to be, how can you not root for Joe? How can you not want Joe Flacco to, unless you're afraid of losing to him, but how could you get a juicier story than Joe Flacco coming back here next week? You can't.
Well, and let me frame it in the way that I think more Ravens fans are interested in at this point. From Lamar Jackson's perspective, we think back to Joe Flacco when the Ravens made their run in 2012. I mean, think about who he beat. Okay, Andrew Luck, it was the Colts in the first round, right? I mean, and that meant something. It was Ray's last home game. So that
And Andrew
story,
Luck looked like he was going to the Hall of Fame at that point. He really did.
I mean, he was a rookie that year. I mean, he had had a great year, right? And the Chuck Pagano thing that year, I mean, it was. But that was a lesser game in terms of the narrative for Joe Flacco specifically. But after that, Peyton Manning, one of I mentioned the old guard a few minutes ago, talking about what it is in the AFC now. But the old guard at that point was Peyton Manning and of course Tom Brady. So I think if you're talking in terms of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens and acknowledging Joe Flacco, but hey, no Browns fans here in Baltimore. We're talking about this from the Ravens perspective. What better way for Lamar Jackson if the Ravens story is to get to Las Vegas and to finish the story and get to the top of the mountain? If you're Lamar Jackson, you take down the guy whose job you took, who you replaced here in Baltimore, whom you're compared to constantly by fans and guys like you and me, right? Because that's ultimately January is where legacies are defined.
And
But for
Joe
Lamar
won, and we
Jackson,
still piss on him as a community. He just wasn't good
forget.
enough.
I don't care
You
about
know what I
Joe
mean?
right
Like,
now. I'm talking about Lamar.
yeah.
I'm talking about
But
Lamar.
yeah, I'm talking about legacy. Legacy. Joe won, and it's like he didn't win. Lamar wins. It's going to crown Lamar in a way that maybe it didn't, Joe.
I
Yeah,
mean,
that's all.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get into too much like that, but I think for Lamar Jackson, the narrative for him, the story where it sets up like Flacco had to take down Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. For Lamar Jackson, it's taking down Joe Flacco and who coming into Baltimore? Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I mean, if you're writing the Hollywood script for this, right? The most enticing way that this could happen, that's what happens, right?
To
And
be the
then you
man,
put,
you got to beat the man, right?
yeah, right, exactly. So, and I think the Ravens. If you tell Lamar and John Harbaugh and company that this is how it plays out, I think they're okay with that, right? I mean, you don't, they shouldn't be afraid of anyone right now. I mean, they're the best team in football and have been for a while now. They proved that in the month of December. They got the week off against Pittsburgh and lost that game. Who cares? Didn't mean anything. And now it's time to go. But boy, if you're trying to envision how this is going to play out from a narrative standpoint, it doesn't get any better than that. So we'll see if it plays out. I mean, Houston will have something to say about that, and Buffalo will have something to say about that if it's Buffalo, Kansas City in the divisional round. But boy, this is exciting and this is fun, and we'll see how it plays out this week. But for the Ravens, I mean, we talked about it in our previous segment, but we didn't really get into it in the specifics. But I mean, not just the rest of the field, but looking at how the Ravens are set up and knowing that the Ravens have quite a few free agents, going into this offseason, some guys that are going to be moving on, guys like Patrick Queen. What's going to happen with Justin Madubuike? Do they get him signed long term, or is he a franchise tag candidate? And then you're dealing with that. You have other guys that are going to move on. I mean,
Well, how about DaCosta spending some money on Pierce over the weekend? That was an interesting signing. Let's say
it
that we
was.
think he's important.
Yeah, I mean, I 2-year deal. That's probably a 1-year deal in practical terms, but certainly, with Michael Pierce, I mean, played all 17 games, played a career high in snaps. I mean, this is a guy who the previous 3 years could not stay healthy, was hurt early last season, was hurt in his last year in Minnesota. He opted out, you know, the COVID year, which obviously was his right and perfectly understandable to do that. But he had played so little football for 3 years, and you're talking about someone who's 31 and a nose tackle, you know, listed at 350 pounds, and has probably been way more than that at times. You know, you get
he got in Harbaugh's doghouse at one point, right? Early on,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I was there the day that he showed up for mandatory minicamp, and they pulled him off the field because they were worried about him, that he was that overweight and just not ready to practice. You know, that was, I mean, that was 4 or 5 years ago at this point. You know, I'm not bringing it up other than just it's part of his story. But
that's a very unlikely thing for Harbaugh, who holds a grudge, and I'm sure he'll hold one against me the rest of my life, which is fine. I like it that way. But in regard to Pierce, Harbaugh had you know, to bring him back, and that doesn't happen often in the Harbaugh doghouse, to your point, right? Like, literally, he's really played himself into something to get himself a $7 million deal.
Yeah, it doesn't, but at the same time, John Harbaugh likes being able to stop the run, and Michael Pierce is really good at doing that, and he's actually done a nice job low-key. I mean, he hasn't, you know, let's be clear, I'm not saying he's racked up the sacks, but he has actually played a low-key, interesting role in their pass rush with some of the things that he's done. You know, Matt Ibike gets all the attention, as he should, you know, when talking about a guy who's, you know, top five, top six all time as far as single season sack seasons for the Ravens. But you know, Michael Pierce played a part in a lot of that as well and did a really nice job for them this year. So, yeah, it was interesting to see them make that investment. Remember,
well, they might not have both of them, but they'll at least have one of them. And that's kind of how they looked at it, right?
I mean, sure. I mean, let's be clear. You want Justin Madubuike. I mean, he's a unicorn. You know, you're inside pass rushers or unicorns around the NFL.
It's going to be a $20 million cap number on him next year, right? If they want to keep him around.
I mean, it's going to be a lot. I mean, you're talking about a guy who could get a $100 million contract from somebody. I mean, that's, you know, that's just
where they'll franchise tag him. That's going to be – that's what they're going to do, right? They're not going to have the money to give him that kind of money.
Well, I mean, I can't fathom that they let him get to market. So, yeah, I mean, and I can't fathom at this point after the season he had that he's going to sign before trying to get to market. So, yeah, I mean, it feels like the franchise tag, I don't want to say inevitable because you never know. And he does love it here and they do love him. But you would think if you're asking me to predict how it's going to play out, yeah, I would think the franchise tag and then we'll see how it goes from there. And it might even be a case of, hey, you'll play on the franchise tag number, which will be a very handsome salary for 1 year. And we'll see if you can do this again, because this was his contract year, but has been the best season of his career by far. Not that he wasn't good before then, but you know, are you going to be a 14 sack kind of defensive tackle every year, like Aaron Donald, you know, or was this a career year? And you know, you're not going to be, you know, you'll go back to being what you were in previous years, which was good, but not special. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But the point is, they've got, that's the toughest call, but they've got guys that they're going to have to figure out, you know. Patrick Queen's presumably going to leave and probably get an $80 million contract somewhere. With him making the Pro Bowl, that makes that even more likely now. What are they going to do with Jadeveon Clowney? I mean, I'm guessing Clowney's going to be in higher demand.
He's going to get a 1 year, 10 or 12, right? Like, literally.
Well, but is that going to be the Ravens, or is it going to be someone else that throws more upfront money to him? I mean, we see how Eric DaCosta has operated as it pertains to these veteran pass rushers, and it's worked out nicely for him. I mean, Justin Houston worked out nicely.
Buy him late and cheap.
Yeah, you know, Kyle Van Noy, who we, you know, haven't even mentioned in this segment, look what he's done this year. I mean, it's, you know, so long story short, they've got some, I don't want to sit here and say that they're losing sleep over it, because obviously they have the Super Bowl run ahead of them that they're envisioning. But, you know, this goes back to what we said. This year it sets up perfectly in terms of matchups, other teams in the conference, and where the Ravens are going to be. It's going to be a tighter cap picture moving forward for them, because you have a $260 million quarterback, you know, who is an MVP for a second time in 5 years, who's going to make a lot of money. And you're going to have to be a little more judicious, a little more responsible with how you spend your money, because it is going to be a smaller margin for error. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But in the meantime, lots of excitement and very interested in seeing how this wild card weekend is going to play out in the AFC.
Is it Saturday yet? I can't wait. Luke Jones is here. You can find him at Baltimore Luke. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. We're both out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of those great places. We are putting together the biggest promotion we've ever done. It's going to be Radio Row Week, the week of February the 5th. Hopefully the Ravens are in the Super Bowl. We have huge, huge broadcasting plans that week, including some charity, including some crab cakes, including some crab soup, and including doing some good turns for other folks here in the community that need it, especially in the cold winter months. We talk about how cold it's going to be in Kansas City this weekend. Stay warm here this week. Get ready. We got 6 football games here this week. Stay in shape. Stay focused on the prize of some football next week. And probably before the end of the week, we'll have a time and a date for the Ravens divisional round game next week. Luke's going to have all of the breaking news for you on the WNST tech service if you're into that. And I'm going to be here plotting crab cake tours, plotting charity things, and watching football. I'm a very available individual. You will, you can find us at BaltimorePositive.com and, of course, at WNST AM 1570. We are BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.